I am
what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith cometh by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
All right, so you can go to Psalms 112. I'm going to be there in just a few minutes, but you guys can go ahead and go to Psalms 112. And so we're in the second part of a really, really mini series called Wisdom for the Holidays. Wisdom for the Holidays. If you were not here on last Sunday, hopefully you went onto the podcast on our website. Everything we teach is absolutely free. You can just click on it. There's also devotions. There's also confessions. So our website is just a great tool to use for your spiritual life. But if you remember on last week, there was 3 points. We talked about be wise with your money, right? So making sure that we do the right things with that. We talked about clear your heart. That had to do with forgiveness and mending relationships in this season. And then we also talked about get some rest. And we talked about the principle of rest and even went back to the commandment of the Sabbath and pulled the principle of rest and talked about how God wants to provide supernaturally for us. And so when we rest, we can trust God to provide supernaturally for us. And so that's what we talked about last week. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. So now, today for our subtopic, so I gave you those three things. So today there's only one point today I'm going to talk about as it relates to wisdom for the holidays. If I was to tell you to do something else during this holiday season, but not just during this holiday season, every day of your life, and that is make a difference. Everybody say make a difference. All right, so let's hop right into it. The two most important days in your life, what are they, Pastor? The two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you discovered why you were born. Those are the two most important days in your life, the day you were born and the day you discover why you were born. You always hear me say you're never closer to the will of God than when you're impacting somebody's life in an amazing way. And everyone in this room is called to make a difference. We're called to bring fresh air to someone who feels like the world is closing in on them. And that's not limited to here or there, but it's limited to everywhere. Because how many know you can make a difference absolutely everywhere? You can make a difference, yes, in this church, but also on the outside of these four walls. So, I like to say, you can't change the world, but you can change your world. So the places you go, are you impacting people's lives? The places in the community, whether it's, going to the grocery store, kids' daycare, your job, those kind of things. And so you'll never be totally fulfilled in life until you're at a place where you know that your life really matters. That's the bottom line. You'll never be totally fulfilled, because that is why, and I'm all about degrees and education, but that's why sometimes you see people, I'm on my sixth degree, because they're really trying to make sure that their life matters. But you have to understand that God has put something on the inside of you that to the degree that you would walk it out, and what is that? Impacting other people's lives in an amazing way. It'll give you a fulfillment. It'll give you a purpose. Does that make sense? All right. So now Psalms 1 and 12, let's jump into this, and let's get into the nitty-gritty of making a difference. Everybody in this room is called to make a difference, and everybody in this room can make a difference starting right now, all right? So Psalms 1 and 12, verse 5 says, good will come to him who is generous and lends freely. So I'm not going to keep everything. I'm going to give my life in a way that it makes a difference. But he says, not just that part. He says, also who conducts his affairs with justice. So I'm going to be very intentional in how I live my life. I'm going to make sure that I have good character. Integrity is very important. So I need to make sure of these things. And so he says, surely, watch this part, surely he will never be shaken. Everybody say never. And my whole thing is either we're going to believe the Bible or we're not going to believe the Bible. Because people say, well, there's no formula for you, never being shaken. Actually, there really is. And we find it in a lot of different places in the world. Now, in the Word, I'm not saying now that things won't be shaken around you. But what I'm saying, even when things are shaken around you, you won't be shaken. Does that make sense? All right. Because if you don't define what your life is about, how many know your problems will? Now, we don't like to talk like that, but that's just true. That's why I talk to you about making confessions and saying what the Word of God says and those kind of things, because the Bible says, where's there no vision, the people perish. Well, same thing in your life. You have to have a vision for your life of what God is doing in your life, and you have to see yourself. And you have to see yourself healed and whole. You have to see yourself blessed. You have to see your family blessed. So there's a part that you have to do. All right, now let's go to verse 6. Verse 6 says, a righteous man will be remembered, how often, class? Forever. So God has no problem with you having a legacy. He just wants you to do it his way. Does that make sense? When we talk about legacy, legacy is just simply living your life in a way where your life lives on. That's what a legacy is. A legacy is living your life in a way where your life lives on. You know, my wife, Lady LaConte, and I are very blessed because both of our parents raised us, you know, in church. Just so happens both of our parents are pastors. And so, you know, they gave us Jesus at an early age. They gave us the word at an early age. And sometimes when you're a kid, you know, that stuff does not really seem important until you get much older. You got it? How many besides me, you know, your parents were a little aggravating when you were a kid, but once you got older as an adult, you're like, I'm so glad that my parents were the way that they were. Isn't that right? Yeah. And that has to give you hope, especially if you have kids like we do that are teenagers, you understand? So when they're frustrated, you're like, it's okay, because, you know, I'm putting the word of God on the inside of them. It's an incorruptible seed, and I know that it's working. And one day when they get a little older, they're going to call us back and say, Mom and Dad, thank you for introducing us to Jesus. Thank you for giving us the word of God. Thank you for making us champions for Christ, because it's working. Does that make sense? Now, I just have to help my parents, amen? All right, so, no, it's working. Now, I was just talking to a teacher the other day, and she teaches Bible at a school, and she says, yeah, it just looks like the kids, you know, they're just not interested. You know, they're just not. I said, but the good thing about, you know, the class you're teaching is the Word of God is an incorruptible seed. It's getting on the inside of them. You got it? So they might not even realize it now, but that Word is on the inside, and it's helping them. You got it? And it's growing them up, and it's actually shaping them for where they go in life. So when they get to college, or when they get to the military, or when they get to that trade school, because everybody's not going to the same place, we're all going to go to different places, and that's okay. You understand what I'm saying? But whenever they get there and they're at a road where they can make a wrong decision or a right decision, because you've been putting the word on the inside of them, Holy Spirit's going to help push them to go right to the right decision. Does that make sense? All right. So we were blessed. And then, of course, we did the same thing. We're training up our children in the way that they should go. And so, you know, we've got two. Jay is 17. Hannah is 13. And so we've got two teenagers in the house. Praise ye the Lord. All right. But they're serving God. You got it? They're coming to church. They're reading their Bible. Hannah serves in kids ministries and does a bunch of other little things. And Jay's on camera. I think he's on kids ministry today. And so we're raising them up the right way. And it's our prayer that when they have children, and yes, they are going to have children. Hannah says she's not going to get married till she's 99. And I used to be okay with it. Never? Okay. Well, she says never. I used to be okay with that a long time ago. But the older I get, I eventually do want grandchildren. You understand what I'm saying? So I can pay them back for how they... Anyways. But the whole idea is to see generations serving God. You know, we went on a mission trip, me, my son, and my father. So we had James Edward McIver Sr., then that was my dad, then me, James Edward McIver Jr., and then my son, James Edward McIver III, all in Haiti, one of the craziest places in the world, serving, doing missions, and that's what legacy is really all about. Can I be real honest with you about something? And I don't want you to get upset with me, because there's a natural part that we should do. But you can leave your kids houses and money and cars, and that's all good. But the greatest thing you could ever leave them is knowing that you raised them to live for Jesus. I'm telling you. So when it comes to legacy, the goal isn't to live on earth forever, but to leave something that does. Now the Bible in the Old Testament and the New Testament is full of that concept, living that your life lives on. And as a pastor, it's my job to help guide you how to live your life on this earth and how to also prepare you for eternity. We don't realize it, but the life you live on this earth is really, really small compared to the life that you live on it in eternity. Eternity is Eternity is forever. You got it? And so, you know, because we're all going to have to stand before God one day. We're all going to have to stand before God and, you know, and be judged for the things that we've done on the earth and those kind of things. And so that's why the Bible tries to teach us to make sure that we're prepared and make sure that we're doing the right things and make sure that we're making a difference and that we're living for God. Romans 14 and 10 talks about that a little bit. They'll put it up on the screen. It says, "You then, why do you judge your brother or sister?" In other words, don't worry about them, worry about you. Can I get a?
Amen.
All right. He says, or why do you treat them with contempt? Why do you think that how you treat people doesn't matter? Like, how many know that everybody in the room and everybody outside of the room that God sent his son Jesus to die for everybody? How many know Jesus loves everybody? Even the people you don't care for. Now, I know we don't like to talk about that because we're in church, but everybody has their own list. You got the list of the people that you go invite to your party. You know, I'm going to invite them. And that name pops and says, oh, no, I ain't going to invite them. And you just kind of keep on going. But Jesus loves everybody, even the people that you don't care for. All right. He says, for we will all stand before God's judgment seat. In other words, you will have your day in court before God. He says, it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow. And he says, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. And on that day, you've got to realize that every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess, whether it's today or whether it's at the end, you got it. But I'm telling you, you want to go ahead and confess Jesus as the Lord of your life today. It is important to be on the right team on that day. You got it? It's important to be on the right team. Like when all the dust settles, you got it, and the eastern sky cracks and Jesus comes back and that, you know, we're all judgments going on, and then everybody all from all, you know, can I say the, yeah, from all denominations, you got it, from all religions, from everywhere finds out that he really is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the day you're going to be so happy that I was on the right team. You got it? You know, because I don't believe in fussing with people. I just believe in, you know, speaking the truth in love. Because people are like, yeah, what if you live your life the whole way just to find out, you know, it wasn't really true. Now, first of all, we don't believe that. You got it? Because we believe the word of God. You got it? But see, you have to understand, you know, if I live my life this way and then I found out at the end it wasn't true, then I just lived a good life. But if you lived your life any old kind of way you wanted to and you found out that it was true, then you's in trouble, bro. Dude. All right, so my daughter was in a play at the Havelock Civic Theater yesterday, and who were the two reindeer? Donner and Blitzen, and they were like California guys, you know, and the whole thing was, the plot was to steal Rudolph's nose so they could make it to the front, you know, and so Donner and Blitzen, they called everybody dude and dudess, you know, but anyways, all right, come on, dude, let's get back to the... The writer says, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. All right, so how many were pretty decent in school? Okay, how many were like me, like you did what you had to do, but you got through school, praise the Lord. Okay, you are my crew, you understand what I'm saying? All right, I just praise the Lord. I think probably because I was a little more concerned about, you know, having friends and, you know, having fun and those kind of things, you know, but praise the Lord, I pulled it off. Amen? And I was actually pretty decent in school, but I wasn't the best tester. You know, and people are like that. Sometimes like you kind of know the information, but you're just not the best tester. You got it? And then, you know, in high school, 9th and 10th grade were just like, you know, okay. And then all of a sudden, here comes 11th grade, and I find out that they have things called like Cliff Notes, you understand? And they've got all these other things, you know, that you can get. And then, you know, and then I was like, why did somebody tell me that in 9th grade? You know? And then I got all the notes I could get. And then 11 to 12, boom, I had that thing going. You understand what I'm saying? Because I just wasn't the best tester. You know, but I'm going to help you take today a two-question test that's going to happen on the day of judgment, all right? And I'm not sure exactly how it looks when the eastern sky cracks and then we all have to stand before God. I'm not sure if we're all just standing around and all of a sudden James McIver, here, present. You know, I'm not sure, like, if it works like that way or not. But I'm going to help you with this two-question test. Not only am I going to give you the questions, but I'm also going to give you the right answers, all right? And so the first question on that day is going to be, number one, what did you do with my son Jesus? What did you do with my son Jesus? I sent him on a mission to earth to pay for your sins, and all sins have to be paid for. How many know that? All right. Unfortunately, a lot of people are going to pay for their own sins, but they don't really have to, because hell is not a place that God sends you because he's mad at you. Absolutely not. If you hear that, that's not true. Hell is a place where you go to pay for your own sins. That's just that, because all sins have to be paid for. But Jesus has already paid for all of our sins, and to the degree that we accept them, that's the whole, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but should have everlasting life. And so he wants very much the penalty that he paid to cover everything, but he can only do that to the degree that we accept him in our hearts. So then Jesus is basically saying, you know, well, what did you do? And this is when we talk about, there's two judgments. The first is what we call the white throne judgment. Now, listen, don't get scared and don't get spooky, and I'm going to break this down and make it real easy for you, all right? All right, so nobody said all right. Don't get scared and don't get spooky. I'm going to break this down for you and make it easy, all right? Okay, all right. So Revelations 20 and 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. So, I mean, everybody was there. I'm talking about everybody. Everybody was there, all right? He says, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. So everybody was there. And the books, plural, were open. This is everything that you've ever done, all your sins, absolutely everything. Uh-huh. And another book, watch this, singular, was open, which was called the Book of Life. So there's all these books that were open, but then there was this book that was open, all right? So the books was everything that I had ever done. But when you understand, well, what is the book? This is the book that Jesus writes your name in when you give your life to him. We call it the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, not just we. That's what the Bible calls it, the Lamb's Book of Life. And so the writer says that the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in these books. And so you don't want to be judged by the books. You want to be judged by the book, all right? And this book is where Jesus erases everything in the other books and writes your name, in this new book based on what he did on the cross for you. That's a beautiful thing. All right, and so I'll just use me. And so, you know, like, I'm not really sure how we're supposed to do it, but when I get to heaven, because I was a Marine, you got it, still a Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine, you got it, not as lean, not as green, not as mean, still a Marine, you understand? And so what happens is, you know, I will probably, you know, I'm just going to do what I got to do. I'm not sure how I'm going to do it, right? So I'm going to be waiting. And then they're going to be like, oh, I remember him. Let's go to the books. And they're looking through all the books because they know he had done a lot of stuff a long time ago, and they can't find anything in all the books. And then one of the guys says, oh, no, that's because I think we need to check the other book. And they're scrolling through the book. They're going, James Edward McIver, Jr., he's in the book. So all the things that I ever done had gotten erased because Jesus paid the price on Calvary to take care of all of those things for me and wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he said, you can come on in into those pearly gates. You got it. And so this is what we call there's two judgments. This is what we call a grace judgment. Everybody say grace judgment. This is all about what Jesus did. Like, you know, when I accept Jesus into my heart, when I accept Jesus into my life, yes, I know that I need to renew my mind and change my way of thinking and live a Christian life. But I have to understand, this is all about what Jesus did for me on Calvary. I can't buy this. I can't pay for this. I can't be a good enough person. This is because of the grace of God. All right? Pastor, how do I make sure that my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life? I need the book. I don't want the books. Matthew 7 and 21. I'm going to help you. Matthew 7 and 21. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. What? I mean, I just thought for sure if you knew how to shout the right way in church, you was going to heaven. I just thought as long as you knew the right dialogue for church, you know, you're going to heaven. You know, I just thought it. He says, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your name, we drove out demons. And in your name, we performed many miracles. And then, watch this, he says, I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. The word new in the Greek is gnoskos, and that means not new up here, but new down here. You got it? And so he says, you know, depart from me, away from me, you evildoers. And then, because what we have to understand is, you can't have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And that's why when the Bible talks about love, he talks about you can prophesy, you can speak in tongues, you can do all these things, but if you don't have love, none of that matters. You got it? And so how many know how we treat people really, really matters? Like it really, really, how many know, okay, and I'm almost going to surprise some of y'all, but how many know that you treating people with love is better than you prophesying to somebody? And I know people don't like that, and I believe in prophecy, but I'm trying to get people to see on an everyday, daily basis how you treat your neighbor, how you treat your brother, how you treat your boss that you don't even care for, how you treat people that you don't like. You got it. Can I be honest with you? We really need to move away from not liking people, but since Jesus has done what he does for me, I like and love everybody because I'm so thankful for what he's done for me. I got 16 claps, but I'm going to get more next time. All right. And so the question was, you know, what did you do with my son Jesus? And so I want to give you the right answer. And the right answer is I knew him personally. I didn't just go to a building. I just didn't sing about him, but I loved him. He was the one I went to. He was the one that I allowed to guide me. He is the one that I live for. I had a relationship with him, and his relationship was my priority because it would be a tragedy to pay for your own sins when they've already been paid for. So if you answer that question right, you're invited into heaven. So the first judgment determines your eternal destiny. All right. And then now when you get into heaven, there is a second judgment. Remember, the first one's all about grace, accept Jesus. You got it. Now the second judgment, and this is where most people don't understand the Bible because they're like, Pastor, that doesn't, you know, before you understand this lesson, you're like, well, the Bible doesn't make sense because I see all this grace stuff. But then there's this stuff that says that I do need to do works and it doesn't make any sense because there's two different judgments. So one is based on grace, but one is based on works. All right. And the second judgment is called the judgment seat of Christ. All right. Anybody learn anything? Okay, good. So the second one is called the judgment seat of Christ. This one is a works judgment. This one is all about how you lived your life. So the first question that he's going to ask is, what did you do with my son Jesus? The second one is he's going to ask, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I gave you? So let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 10th verse to kind of just explain this whole judgment seat of Christ and kind of break it down for you. All right. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether there be good or bad. And so the Bible says, what's the Greek word? Apodidomai is a Greek word where he says he's going to pay you back, all right? And so Jesus wants to pay us back for all the good things that we did. You got it? There are some crowns and jewels waiting in heaven for you, all right? And so the Bible teaches us that Jesus is coming back and that he's bringing a reward with him. As a matter of fact, Matthew 16 and 27 says, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with angels, and he will reward each person according to what he has done. Does that make sense? All right. So let's do it this way in the back, my media people. So let's put up the first question. The first question was, what did you do with my son Jesus? All right. Don't put up the answer. I'm going to see if they remember the answer. What did you do with my son Jesus? Does anybody remember the answer? Ooh! Y'all did good. All right, put up the second one. Second question. What did you do with what I gave you? All right. I can't ask if you know this answer because I haven't given it to you yet. So let's give the second answer. And this is what it's really all about. I gave my life away. I made a difference. I impacted people's lives in an amazing way. I treated everyone with respect. I served on the dream team at my church. I gave them my time. I gave them my talent. I gave them my treasure. I helped people that were helpless. You got it? I helped people that could never pay me back. You got it? I did things for people without looking for anything in return from them because I was so happy about everything that God did for me. I made a difference. Every day I had a smile on my face. I made it up in my mind to encourage somebody even when I was going through a tough time, even when there was hell going on in my marriage. marriage or hell going on in my family. I made a decision that because God had done so much for me, I was going to do everything that I could for other people. So I didn't wear what I was going through on my sleeve, you got it, but I tucked it away knowing that God was going to take care of all of that as long as I took care of other people. So I gave my life away. That's a good place to clap. All right. Now, this one, if you're going to book this or gram this, y'all know what book and gram is, right? If you're going to put it on Facebook, you book it. Some people say post is book. If you're going to put it on Instagram, you gram it. You got it. Some people, what they say, my thing is, who is they? All right. But if you're going to write this, write it right. Watch this. Your whole life before you get saved is about finding Jesus. Your whole life. I should have put this up on the screen for them. Your whole life before you get saved. Maybe we'll do this at the 11, Ellen. Your whole life before you get saved is about finding Jesus. All right? I want everyone to repeat that after me. My whole life before I get saved is about finding Jesus. Okay, y'all got that part? All right? The second part, your whole life after you get saved is about making a difference. So your whole life before you get saved is about finding Jesus. Your whole life after you get saved is about making a difference. Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, and the 11th verse says, he has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also, and you got to get this, set eternity in the human heart. In other words, you can't help but think about eternity. You can't help but think. Everybody, even people that say they're atheists, I don't care what they tell you, on the inside, they can't help but think about eternity because the Bible says that he has set it in the human heart. And so, you know, but if you don't know what to do with it, you will live your life spontaneously. But I suggest that you live your life intentionally. Make sense? All right, so I'm going to give you three things, and then after that, we'll be close to getting out of here. Y'all get blessed today? All right, so I suggest that you live your life intentionally, and there are three things that I'm going to give you. Yeah, I think we could go home on this, Courtney. You might play just a few seconds longer than normal, but I think we can go home on this. All right, let's put number one up on the screen. Number one on the screen is I will intentionally give what I have. I will intentionally give what I have. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says you will be made rich. That word rich just seems to mean abundantly supplied. People always get knocked off when you say the word rich in church. Just if you don't understand the word, look it up. You got it, because it just means that you'll be abundantly supplied in every way. And that's God's will for your life so that you can be generous on every occasion. If you're not abundantly supplied, you can't be generous. You got it? But when you're abundantly supplied, it's not for you to build bigger barns, because we know what happens when you try to build bigger barns, right? And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So be an intentional giver. Number two, I will intentionally serve others. I will intentionally serve others. And I know that you're doing a lot of writing. Remember, it's okay if you take pictures of my screens, because we allow technology in this church. Praise the Lord. All right. I will intentionally serve others. You know, Matthew 20:26 says, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, I think that we should serve inside these four walls, and I think we should serve on the outside of these four walls. I think we should do both. And you know what I love? We do that as a corporately. We serve inside and outside, but then you all are always doing your own things on the outside, and I think that's amazing. I'm always seeing that kind of stuff, all right? And so, you know, on the inside, how do you serve? We have something called the Dream Team. That's our army of volunteers who serve in ministry. And if you're not on the Dream Team, just find a place. And we're not, like, hard with that. If you say, hey, I just want to do one Sunday a month, and that's it, and we're like, okay. Or one Sunday and one Tuesday. And as a matter of fact, we won't let you work too much because we don't want you to get burnt out. You got it? If you're new here and just coming and you need a break, take your time. Ain't no problem. But once you get here and you get well rested, then jump in and do something. Isn't that fair? Yeah. All right. And then number three, I will intentionally share Christ. And that's what I want you to do, especially during the holidays, because we find out that a lot of people during this time are hurting. I want you to tell your story. I want you to invite someone to church. You need the experience of bringing unchurched people to church. It's an amazing thing. Mark 16:15, Jesus said to his followers, go everywhere in the world. I talk about your world. So there is, you know, we see this from two lights. You got it? And so I want to make sure that you start with your world. When, go everywhere in your world. When you wake up and you go to whatever you do. I was working out and then I stopped. I finally contacted my trainer and told her I'm ready to work out again. But she broke me down, brothers. Last time she broke me down. I was like, that is not a good feeling when, you know. But anyways, I'm going back. But, you know, whether you go to the gym, whether you just, oh, Lord. This morning I got up and I was just thinking about my lesson. I was like, man, I ought to cancel my training session for tomorrow. But I'm going in Jesus' name. But your world, so the gym you go to, the store that you go to, the place you drop your kid off, you know, the daycare, your job, that is your world. He says, and tell everyone the good, tell the good news to everyone. Why should I do that? Last scripture, and I'm closing. 1 Timothy 6 and 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope, to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Watch this next part. Command them to do what, class? To do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation of the coming age, so that they, watch this now, may take hold of the life that is truly life. Because there is more to this life than just this life. And so, let's kind of backtrack. So we go back to last week. Wisdom for the holiday. I'm going to be wise with my money. I'm not going to run all my credit cards up trying to, you know, impress somebody. If we're really family and love each other, it don't matter no ways. You got it? And if I get you something, it doesn't mean you have to get me something. Does that make sense? Yeah. Then what was number two? We said clear your heart. So if there's forgiveness that I need, that needs to take place in my heart, that's what I'm going to do. If I need to ask someone forgiveness, I'm going to make sure that I do my, especially in the area of families, that I mend whatever relationships I can. All right? And then number three, you know, we said we're going to get some rest. And we talked about that whole supernatural thing last week. Go to the podcast and listen to it. It's real good. And then today, I'm going to make a difference. So if I have not been making a difference, no problem. Because God gives me a brand new day with brand new mercies, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to make a difference. You know, I don't believe in not including people. I just don't believe in that. You know, in the summertime and in the springtime and even into the fall, we have ice cream under the canopy. And we all, Lady LaConte and I, we're out on the canopy and we're trying to hug everybody's neck and shake your hand. And all of y'all come up and walk to us and hug our neck, shake our hands. When it gets cold, we're down here like, not many of y'all come to us. And so this is a plea for y'all. No, let me just leave it alone. And so anyways, get back, stay where you are, Pastor. And so, anyways, haven't seen some of y'all in 3 weeks. But anyways, what happens is, you know, you're getting your ice cream, and let me just tell you what we normally do. We're normally going to gravitate to the people we know. You got your nutty buddy, you got your ice cream sandwich, and you got your popsicle. You got it. And we're laughing and joking, but you always have to be aware of the people around you. Because what if you're over here and there's this one person, they came, they're new, they don't know anybody, but they're like, hey, this is what the pastor said do. He said, don't leave right away. He says, stay outside. He says, you know, eat for 10 minutes. So, hey, 10 minutes on the clock. I'm going to do what the man said do. I'm eating it. Watch this. The biggest difference is going to be made in finding out whether someone comes and sees about them or not. And so don't be so careful about just being in your little group that you don't notice somebody. Well, I don't want to walk away. No, you don't have to walk away. Invite them into your group. Introduce them to the people in your group. I don't know them. We're all one big family. And we got to make sure that we do that. So check on people. Double check on people. Just because somebody's smiling doesn't mean that they're not hurting on the inside. Because we've all learned how to put on the good right face. We know how to bring our best face to church. I like to call it our personal representative. I'm serious. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we should put our best face on and do this kind. But what I'm trying to get you to understand, it doesn't mean that people aren't going through things. People, you know, in the week, the Lord will bring up somebody's name to me. You know why he brings up that name to me? So I can pray for him. And that's the same reason he does it for you. So when he brings up that name, you got to pray for that person. If you know them personally, just text them, hey, just thinking about you today. Hope you're having a great day. Because you're never closer to the will of God than when you're impacting somebody's life in an amazing way. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. It's really early. I know a few people have to get up and walk, but if everyone else can stay seated,